For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 2nd, 2009. Carol McCarroll is the speaker of the service, teaching on Legal Ground.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Praise be to the Lord. Just reach up there and give the Lord a big hug tonight. Just give Him a big old hug and just tell Him how much you love Him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, it's good to see you here tonight, and we're believing that the Lord has a great blessing for you. Amen. And we want to welcome the people who are watching through streaming video from Kansas City that I know of, and Anderson, Indiana, and a multitude of other places. God bless you. As a matter of fact, we'd like to hear from you here at Lake Hamilton. And so I'm sure there's a telephone number there that you can call and let us know that you're watching, and let us know what a blessing this camp meeting is to you. Amen. One of the greatest compliments that could ever be paid to a pastor is for his people to drive 450 miles to be with him so he can persecute them again. Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Curry, would you please come up here? Let's give them a big hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Charlie and Sister Rosemarie Curry, I don't know what they're going to say, so I won't say anything. I may steal some of their thunder, so
we
you
have
go
to
ahead.
Say something?
Absolutely, you got to say something. I'm your pastor. Did you hear this brother preach today? He said, submit. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Get in there and talk.
All right.
Hallelujah.
I am so glad that the Lord called us down to help Chaplain Collier at the Jackson County Jail. It's been a joy. It's been our life. And we found the inmates loved us. I mean, they just treat her like her grandma, and it's just a lot of fun down there. And we, the Lord has blessed us so, and given us material to use in a Bible class. And I've been there some years, and then she joined me 6 years ago. And my class was called Freedom in Christ. And we had another art class until the county cut the supplies down so much, the officers so much, we had to give that up. So then we have an art class one day a week out at Pastor's School. And so we worked, and we had a charge of a worship service on Sunday evening, and that's how we met
Pastor McCarroll. Charles and I, we're going on 7 years of marriage. The Lord put us together, and he was a staunch Baptist. I wasn't. I was used to going to church where the Holy Spirit ruled. And so I went to church with him for a while, and I couldn't take it. It was too dry. But anyhow, we began to look for a church. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit while he was in that church, in the Baptist church, that is. And so we looked for a church, and we visited many churches. They were good churches, but the Lord said, no, that wasn't the one he wanted. So we were asked to hold church services at Jackson County Correctional Center in Kansas City, Sunday morning church services. And we already were teaching a Bible class and an art class. And we accepted to oversee it, and our chaplain would choose ministers and pastors to come in and teach or preach every Sunday morning. And we had quite a few, and it's mostly black. And One day, in walks Pastor Carol McCarroll and his son Matthew McCarroll. Now, I had heard about them, but I didn't know that much about them. And they taught and preached that day, and it was good. They were really received. And so later on, to make a long story short, his son, Pastor Matthew McCarroll, was asked to come back every fourth Sunday in the month and preach. So he kept inviting us to his church. And we didn't go for quite a while, but he kept at it, and we just fell in love with him. He was so good. He was so sweet. And we finally decided we'd go visit their church. We walked into that church. It was the most loving church we'd ever been in. You could feel the love there. But we had to wait. Is this where the Lord wanted us? I don't know. How many Sundays did we come before?
I think one.
No.
He's on the staff.
Well, anyhow, it was a couple of Sundays, and we got the go-ahead to join the church. And so we did, and we're going into our second year of being there, and we've never been sorry. I have never been in a church that was so full of love. And we're an integrated church. We have all races there. And I just can't tell you, everybody I met there is just full, so full of love. We feel so close to each other. And the ministry is great there. We have four pastors in that church. Pastor McCarroll, and we have Pastor Liddell Flowers, and we have Pastor David McCarroll, and Pastor Matthew McCarroll.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the grandsons will probably be pastors before we know it. They're already up there ministering. But we just can't tell you how much we love our pastor. He is just so full of love.
God bless you, darling.
He really cares for the people. He doesn't make any difference in anybody. He loves them, just like Jesus does. And you can see Jesus in him. And that's all I got to say, unless Charlie wants to say something.
Well, I am getting busy here.
We hope you get to come and visit our church. And I want to say we feel the love here. This is the first time for us here. And it's great. I've been to many meetings, but never like this one. Never like
but,
this one.
But we don't want to see you in jail there.
No.
God bless you. Sister Rose Marie, you see Sister McCarroll after the service. She has a check for you, okay? Hallelujah. Anybody talks that good about their preacher, I mean, you gotta pay them. Hallelujah. I've had several people who've asked me about our daily Bible reading plan that I spoke about Monday night. And we want to thank Sister Pat and some others here and the staff that has made a couple of months available for us. And so if I can have a couple of fellows to come and help pass these out, if you would, please. Now, there's not enough for everybody, but there should be enough for every family. And if there's not enough for every family, then we need to make some more, okay? So we'll get a count. So somebody, some designated person in your family, hold up your hand and get that. And just a little word about this. I want you to know that as people read the Word of God in your church, it's going to revolutionize your church. It's going to revolutionize your church. It'll revolutionize your personal life. But as each one in your church begins to read the same passages of Scripture every week, and then whenever you have worship services, the Holy Spirit is going to lead whoever's in charge to minister upon what they've been studying and praying about and seeking the Lord about. And then so they get up and they preach on a passage of Scripture that you've been reading about, and it just cements it into your spirit. And now we're right now, I believe that America right now is in the dark ages as far as the Word of God is concerned. Many bright lights in our land, and we thank God for those. But so many people in the churches are not reading their Bibles. They're depending upon the pastors to do it. They're depending upon their church leaders to do it. But we need to be people of the Word. Amen? I said we need to be people of the Word. Everybody look up here. When I hold up that finger, that means, amen. When I hold up that finger, that means, hallelujah. When I hold up three fingers, that means, praise the Lord. Now this side over here, see if you can do better. I mean, we need to have a little contest here, okay? All right, over here on this side, let's hear it. Could you do any better? Could you do a little better? You know, Brother Glenn, Pastor Liddell Flowers had the choir up, and I mean, they were kicking. Now, some people understand what I'm talking about when we say they were kicking. I mean, they were really kicking. And he looked at me when they got through singing as if to say, well, how was that, Pastor? And I went up to him and I whispered in his ear and I said, is that the best you can do? He just looked kind of like that. And he turned around and this time they were kicking with both feet. Hallelujah. I mean, they really... So, did you do the best you could do? All right, are you ready? This side over here? Are you ready? That's pretty good. Hallelujah. All right, how over here? Number two is what? All right, now, is this the first time you've ever heard anything like this before? Do you all not say amen and hallelujah? Huh? You know, when you say amen to your preacher, it's like saying sick'em to your best dog when he's in a fight. Now, you say sick'em, boy, hallelujah. And man, he'll get in there and get with it. And you know, when you got a preacher like me up here, you need all, I mean, I need all the encouragement and all the help that I can get. All right, so are you ready? It's going to be a two. Are you ready? What's two, by the way? Some of you know, some of you don't. Look at your neighbor and say, two means hallelujah. All right, are you ready? Let's get with it now. All right, here we go. It was a, by the way, that contest was a tie. Are you ready? Here we go. All right, give yourself a great big hand. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand something. When you begin to read the Word of God every day, it's going to do something in you. It's going to be a revolution in you. God is going to begin to do things in you. And as the whole congregation is feeding in the same pasture, in the Word of God, and you come together as a church, your minister gets up and ministers on the same passages that you've been studying, your Sunday school teacher is teaching on the same thing, there's a word of prophecy that comes, or a tongue, an interpretation, I mean to tell you, it revolutionizes your church. You're on fire. And we need to be reading the Word of God. Because as I told you Monday evening, or Tuesday evening, there is no excuse for ignorance. We've all got the Bible. Now here's how this works. Look at July. Okay? The middle column is your dates. First, second, third, on down to the end of the month. All right, let's just take the 1st of July. Going all the way to your left. Book of Joshua chapter 3. Then Psalms 126 through 128. Then moving to your right, Isaiah chapter 63. Then Matthew chapter 11. I'll never forget when Brother Charlie came in at the end of our first year doing this. And he had taken a highlighter. And every day he had filled in that. And he held up all of those sheets. Held them up. I mean, the congregation just burst into applause. Because here we are. And others did the same thing. We need to be reading the Word of God. Now, I told you Tuesday evening where this comes from, Robert McChesney. You see his name at the top on the left-hand side. Robert McChesney was a 29-year-old Scottish Presbyterian minister. Went home to be with Jesus. But God gave him this wonderful Bible reading plan, and it revolutionized the Presbyterian church throughout all of Scotland and also on many of the mission fields. He went home to be with Jesus before he was 30 years of age. But just think, what a legacy. Now, somebody said, well, why can't you get us all 12 months? Well, I didn't bring all 12 months with me. However, if you look down at the bottom, on the left-hand side, you'll find a website there. You get on your computer, you get on your browser, you go to this website, and you can print out every month of the year. And it'll be yours. Now, Brother Charlie and Sister Rosemarie are taking this down. By the way, Jackson County Jail has a new name. It's now called the Miracle House. And they've taken this down to the Miracle House, and these inmates are reading the Bible every day. Hallelujah. Reading the Word of God. And then Matthew goes in there on the fourth Sunday, and man, I tell you, that boy preaches up a storm. That boy can preach. I don't know where he got it at, but he can preach. Hallelujah. And America is a miracle house. Praise be to Jesus. I'm going to bring my sweetheart up here. This is my first wife. And she proposed to me 48 years ago. And I said yes. And I've been saying yes, ma'am, ever since. Hallelujah.
We have found that the way to walk in deliverance, after you receive deliverance, you have to walk in it.
Hallelujah.
And it's through the Word of God. And it's being filled with the Spirit of God. And speaking in tongues, praying in tongues every day. That's how we're going to walk with Christ in deliverance. And that's so important. And we praise God that we've learned those secrets. And we're trying to help our people to learn the same thing. And God opened up a way 3 years ago for our church to go into the treatment houses and bring them to our church for a rally once a month. And we've seen many, many people delivered, given their lives to Jesus. And the wonderful thing, you know, if people are having issues, they want people to accept them. And I want to praise God for our church. Sister Curry said they are full of love. And they don't care, you know, that somebody has issues. They're going to love them, help them. And I praise God for that opportunity that God has opened up for us. We praise God. So, Brother Glenn talked about a song the other night. So, so Brother McCarroll and I are going to, we've been working on it. So, it's called Run If You Want To, Run If You Will, But I've Come Here To Stay.
All right, praise be to Jesus. Amen.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause I didn't start out to play. It's a battle, it's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause I didn't start out to play. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay.
The champion had marched for 40 days, crying, send me a man to fight. But a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks said, if you're going to run, Goliath, you better start now, because I've come here to stay. Amen.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. Want to run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to try to get up, cause I didn't start out to play.
It's a
fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay.
The decree had been signed by the hand of the king, but Daniel still talked to the Lord. The hungry lions were pacing the den. "Here comes supper," one roared. But if you'd have been around anywhere near, you would have heard old Daniel say, "If you're talking about me, you can forget it, boys, 'cause I've come here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, 'cause I didn't start out to play. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay." The decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Let's start that one again. Amen. The boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad, and he said, "Turn the furnace up high. Tie them up. Throw them in. These Hebrew boys are going to fry." But if you'd have been around anywhere near, you'd have heard old Shadrach say, "Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands, 'cause we've come here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, 'cause I didn't start out to play. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. Run if you're going to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay." Amen. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. We sang that the first time we came here to the campgrounds.
All the kids, you should be up here, and all the kids should sing it.
That's right, they did.
Yeah, hear that, boys? Remember when you was little? I remember.
Amen. Thank you, Glenn. That was fun. Amen. And as you can see, we probably haven't sung that in a while. And we need to go back and revisit the landmarks every once in a while. Can you say amen to that? Tonight I want to speak to you for the next few moments about legal rights. Legal rights. Say that with me. Legal rights. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Father, we come to you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask now that you open up heaven and send the blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to speak to each of our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll sow your seed in our hearts and it will bring forth a great harvest. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for each of us here in this place tonight and those that are watching across the nation. And Lord, we ask you now to bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Open your Bibles, first of all, with me, please, to the book of St. Matthew, chapters 5, verses 17 through 19. And this chapter begins the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached 3 chapterfuls on the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And by the way, if you will memorize Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, and you can do it, say, "I can do it." You might have to be motivated to get the job done, but you can do it. And I'll talk about that motivation just a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount is a thumbnail sketch of everything that Jesus taught in the 4 Gospels. Back when our children were little, we took on a summer project of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Now here was the deal. Every evening we planned to have dinner together. Sometimes we had to have it early, sometimes we had to have it late, but we had dinner together every evening of every day of the week. And we had to have either a scripture or 2 or 3 scriptures memorized for that day. Now this is the motivation. If you didn't have your scripture memorized for that day, and our goal was to memorize all 3 chapters
Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If we didn't have it ready when our time came, then we had to leave the table, go into the living room, and sit down and work on our scripture until we had it. Then we could come back and say it, and then eat our meal. Now, I want you to know something. There never was such laughter and joy in the house as to whenever Daddy did not have his scripture down perfect. I found out, and by the way, we all voted on it. This was a family deal. We all voted on it. And when you vote on something, you've got to live up to it. Amen? So Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I encourage you to get it down. Memorize it. If the Muslims can memorize the entire Quran, we can memorize three chapters in the Word of God. Can you say?
Amen.
Come on now, can you say?
Amen.
Can you say?
Amen.
Can you say?
Amen.
All right, we can do it. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand together and give glory to the Lord. I want you to follow along as I read the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 17 through 19. And by the way, again, this message is entitled Legal Grounds. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Say that word, fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Say fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Say that. Least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called, read it with me, great in the kingdom of heaven. Say it again. Great in the kingdom of heaven. Raise your hand to heaven and thank the Lord for His Word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Legal grounds. Now, through the prophet Moses, God spoke to Israel. He gave him careful and detailed instructions to give to Israel so that whenever they went into the promised land, they would not be snared by worshiping demon gods. Did you hear that? Detailed information so that they would not be ensnared by worshiping demon gods or to receive curses, harm upon their own lives, upon their nation, upon their families, upon their children when they went into the promised land. Now remember, God was with them, but He gave them detailed instructions so that they would not suffer any harm, any destruction, any famines, any perils, any harm by receiving curses on their lives because they did not follow the instructions that God gave to Israel. Now today, as we're looking at America, very few Americans today in the churches across our land really know the Word of God. That's why wherever we go, we encourage people, get in, start reading the Word of God. We give them Bible reading plans. Now it's up to you. Now Moses led Israel for 40 years. He now was 120 years old. They were right across the river from Jericho. Moses gave to Israel his last instructions that God told him to speak to His chosen people. Turn with me now, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And we're going to begin reading at verse 15. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. Here's what Moses said. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Is that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whithersoever thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And I call heaven and earth today, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed, thy children, may live. Now verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life. Did you hear that? He is thy life, and the length of thy days. Did you hear that? God is our life and the length of our days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Tonight, again, I'm speaking to you about legal rights. Now, Tuesday evening, the Lord allowed me to speak to you, and I spoke to you about problems, prolonged problems. I read some of the same scriptures that night. Tonight, we're looking at it in this fashion, legal grounds. Now, Satan has legal rights to attack God's people if we do not follow the Word of God. You see, God is a just God. And what He has to say is, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. We have to choose life every day. I think it was Brother Nathan who said something about WWJD and about how the young people wore on their wrist. Just a few years ago, it was a fad that went around WWJD in Christian circles and said, what would Jesus do? We need to choose life. When there's something that comes up between right and wrong, we need to choose right and run from wrong. What did Joseph do when that was presented to him? Now, God says that if we choose right, that He will bless us, that we will prolong our days upon the land, that we will be prosperous. How many people like to have blessings?
Amen.
Boy, you folks are slow learners. Let's do it again.
Amen.
I told you now I need all the help I can get. When we do not do like we ought to do, Satan has the right to step in and deal with us according to what he wants to deal with us in. Now, God will put him on a leash. He can only go so far. But I want you to understand something, that famines, pestilences, economic problems, rebellion, strife, all of those things will run rampant in an individual's life, even sickness, to the very point of death, if we do not choose right. Now we have a beautiful example of Satan's legal rights found in the book of Joshua chapter 7. Open your Bibles there, please. Joshua chapter 7. Now in chapter 6, Joshua now, whom Moses lay his hand upon in instructions of the Lord, and the Spirit that was upon Moses now rested upon Joshua. He did this before all the camp of Israel. Everyone knew that Joshua now was the leader of Israel. He confirmed that by their crossing of the Jordan. I just read that this morning, of how the waters heaped up on one side and disappeared on the other side as they continued on down the stream. Have you ever seen heaped up waters? Sure you have. You just don't understand that. When waters get heaped up, they freeze. Uncle Sam gave me the privilege of spending 2 years in Alaska, right outside of Anchorage, which is right on the Cook Inlet. the Japanese sea comes in there. And in the wintertime, the waves come in and they freeze upon the beach and on the rocks. And you can see the waters heaped up, heaped up, heaped up, heaped up, several stories high, depending upon the ferocity of the wind that's driving the waves in. The Lord confirmed Joshua by a miracle as the leader of Israel. And as you read about that, you see that the people actually feared Joshua because of the anointing of God that was upon him, even as they feared Moses. Now in the sixth chapter, Joshua gave to Israel instructions concerning when they went in to Jericho. God had promised them that they would take Jericho. Now listen to what he said, chapter 6. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. And if the Lord gives me a chance to speak again later this week, I'm going to speak to you about Rahab the harlot, and I'm going to mark you for a miracle. Hallelujah. Anybody here need a miracle? I said, anybody here need a miracle? Well, let's do number 3. You're doing pretty good. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Now that's the instructions. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Choose life. Choose right. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now verse 19 tells us that all the silver, the gold, the brass, and the iron is consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The rest of the city was to be destroyed. All the inhabitants, all the animals, all the possessions, except Rahab and these items that are mentioned in verse 19. All right, now let's go to the 7th chapter. We're going to see Satan's legal right. A beautiful illustration of that. Verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Say trespass.
Amen.
For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. Say accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. At least 40,000 men of war went against Jericho after the Lord caused the walls of Jericho to collapse. 39,999 obeyed the words of Joshua. Don't touch the accursed thing. Stay away from it. And those things that are dedicated to God, gold, silver, brass, iron, are to be put in the treasury of the Lord. You see, that was to be used later on for the temple. Hallelujah. 39,999 were obedient. One wasn't. Now, sometimes we think what we do doesn't amount to anything. But I want you to know that in this case, What one man did changed the course of the history of Israel, not for the good. And it could have meant the complete destruction of Israel if they had not have repented.
That's right.
Another thing I want you to see was that Achan thought nobody knew anything about it. Well, look at all these soldiers. Surely somebody else is going to do the same thing. But nobody else did. But the nice thing about it is, nobody knew about it except. You got it. Say it again. Say it again. That which is done in secret shall be shouted from the housetop. I remember one day I was sitting in the backyard with my brother and sister, and Mama was getting ready to can some apples. We had the biggest old apple tree in our backyard, and she had 3 great big number 3 wash tubs, and we were washing apples, and we were peeling apples, and we were soaking apples, and Mama got to singing an old camp meeting song. And that old camp meeting song. Now listen, when the mother sang, it was scary. Mother sang through her nose. You said, how do you sing through your nose? Well, you sing like that. And man, it was scary. And she got to singing what I found out later, a song entitled, The Great Judgment Day Morning. Alice, do you know that song? The Great Judgment Day Morning. You had to sing it for us. Well, that'll be all right. Now, some of those words went like this. Whenever the king comes, when the Lord comes, that the rich men and everyone else will hide themselves in the rocks and the caves of the earth to hide from the wrath of the Lord. She began to sing that, and as I said, just hearing her sing was scary. But for about an 8 or 9 year old boy who was full of sin, it was worse than seeing a Frankenstein, Bud Abbott, Lou Costello movie. Now, I know you kids never heard anything like that, but everybody that laughed showed their age. Hallelujah. I remember we went to a Saturday afternoon matinee, and I'm 6 years older than my brother Tom, and Frankenstein walked out, you know. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello was running, trying to hide from Frankenstein, and I took it, Tom, and I said, he's going to get you, Tom. Tom's eyes got so big, and Tom's probably watching right now. Love you, son. God bless you. You're precious. Hallelujah. Amen. I got sick. I jumped up and started running toward the house, and Mama said, where are you going? We got apples to peel. I said, I'm sick, Mama. I got sick. She was singing about the judgment day. And all I could think about was that I was going to be standing before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels of heaven and everybody in all the ages of the earth were going to be standing there, and the angel was going to say, Carol Chaney McCarroll. And then he's going to start reading all the nasty, dirty, hateful, mischievous, sinful things that an 8 or a 9 year old boy had done. You say, what could he do? You don't want to know. But God knew how great it was when Mother came in and she sat down beside the bed and she took a washcloth, a cold washcloth, and laid on my head. And she says, it's going to be all right, honey. You know, a mother's love is so much like the love of God. God knows. God knew about Achan. Achan couldn't hide it. He lied about it. He hid it. He touched it. He took it. He disobeyed God. And if he would have just turned to God, God is a merciful God, a loving God. And I want you to understand tonight that God is merciful and loving. But just like I had in my mind as that little boy laying on that bed and seeing the great judgment day, there's coming a judgment day. Did you hear that? There's coming a judgment day. What have you chosen? Have you chosen to do right or have you chosen to do wrong? Now let's look at verses 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now this is after the battle of Jericho, and it was won miraculously. Jericho was defeated. Not one Israelite died. And now Joshua sends men to Ai, the next town, which is beside Beth-haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. It's only a little tiny place, Joshua. 2,000 or 3,000 can take care of it. And make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. Ai was a small town. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Did you hear that? They fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. Say that. 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Dear ones, 36 innocent, God-fearing, courageous men died in the battle of Ai, and they were totally innocent. They had done nothing. They had fought in the battle of Jericho. They had done what Joshua said for them to do, but because of the sin of Ai, the whole nation was cursed. In fact, God said, I will not be with you. 36 men died. 36 women were left as widows. Average of 3 children per family. Over 90 children were left without a father. All because of Achan. Let me ask you a question. What would the history of your family be if it wasn't for you? What would the history of my family be if it wasn't for me? I know of at least one man that's dead because of me and is in hell today. I wish I could say that I've been a Christian all of my life, but I wasn't. A young man by the name of Larry Davis was in Sunday school with me. I love Larry. Went to the same school together. Larry was a good boy. I was a bad boy. Oh, I looked good. I knew how to act. But I corrupted Larry Davis. And I made it a point to corrupt Larry Davis. And soon Larry was doing exactly what I was doing. And whenever I left and went in the military, he did worse. And one day my mother sent me a newspaper clipping. And it said Larry Davis had been working on his car. Had it jacked up. Crawled under the car to do something. And the jack collapsed and crushed his head. And he was dead on arrival at St. John's Hospital in Anderson, Indiana. When I got that clipping, I now was a Christian. I now knew Jesus as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I wept and I promised the Lord that day. From that day forward, all of my influence would go to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan had legal grounds to curse Israel. And I want you to know it wasn't just the men of Ai that chased the Israelites. It wasn't just the men of Ai who slew the Israelites. But it was demons also that were associated with the curse that came upon Israel because of their disobedience to God. You say, those men were innocent. It makes no difference. Satan had legal ground. Because one man was disobedient to God. We have more in this scripture. Let's read a little more. Perfect example of Satan's legal rights, beginning at verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. You get the picture. Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh, we're always ready to do that. I didn't know it was going to be this bad being a Christian. I didn't know I'd have to put up with this type of persecution. I didn't know that all my friends would leave me. I didn't know people would talk about me. Brother Glenn talked about Simon Cameron and Michael Cameron, the two patriarchs of the Cameron family, who when they turned to the Lord, the whole family made fun of them. The whole city made fun of them. But they didn't turn back. But they continued to sing and praise the Lord, and now 150 or more Camerons are serving the Lord across the land. Amen. Glorifying the Lord. When I came back from the military, the first person I wanted to tell Jesus to was my brother Tom. And Tom, beside the bathtub on a Sunday evening, I was preparing to go to church. And he said, I'm going to go with you. And he said, and maybe tonight I'll get saved. And I looked at Tom and I said, you don't have to wait till we get to church to get saved. And beside the bathtub in the bathroom, Tom McCarroll gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then just a few months later, my dad gave his heart to Jesus. And my sister
gave her heart to Jesus, and now they're married, and their families are all born again. And there's one of my nephews said the other day, I'm going to be a minister for the Lord. And another one is just going to the Anderson Church of God Bible College, hallelujah, to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife's saved. My kids are all saved, all five of them, and 12 grandchildren. All three of our boys are preaching the Word of God, and the two girls married wannabe preachers. So don't get discouraged. Joshua said we should have stayed on the other side of Jordan. I didn't know what this was going to happen. Lord, You caused all of this. How many times do we blame God? Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Joshua rolled into dust, put dust upon his head. The elders of Israel did the same, and they whined and cried out to God. Does that sound like me and you? Lord, why me? I'm sure you've never done that. Lord, why me? Why can other guys get away with it? Why can't I? God had delivered me from tobacco. But then I went to Bible college. I won't tell you what denomination it was. There's more preacher boys on that campus than practically any campus in the whole denomination. And the devil made me think that every boy on that campus was smoking. Man, they smoke filtered. They smoke cigarillos. They smoke full-blown Cubans. Some of them you walk around with pipes. You couldn't go into the student union with what you had to take your pocket knife and cut through the smoke in order to get in there. Well, needless to say, I got tempted. Now, dear ones, I want you to understand something. Temptation is not sin. Did you understand that? But whenever you put the temptation into shoe leather and start doing it, then it becomes sin. Well, I started sneaking around smoking. Oh, big army vet, sneaking around smoking. Boy, the devil used that on me. He said, here, you're quite a man, aren't you? And you won't even smoke in your own home. I said, well, you're right. I got home and I walked in the door and I said, guess what? To my sweetheart. I think I'm going to start smoking. I didn't tell her I'd been doing it for a month now, see, sneaking around. She looked at me and I never got a look out of her like that before or since. She put her hand on both hips and she said, if you do, I'm going home to Mama and Daddy. Did you hear that? I got so mad. And it wasn't righteous anger either. And you know I learned in Psychology 101, when you laugh like stuff like that, you know, about things like that, that you really identify?
Yes. Amen.
Let's do it again.
Amen.
If you can't say amen, you better say oh me. Finally, I went in the back bedroom and I got down. I didn't really get down. I stomped around in the back bedroom and I said, I started praying and complaining, whining. I said, Lord, the other preacher boys are doing it, and they're doing it. Some of them got good churches. And I said, I got that little tiny church down there. And you won't let me smoke. And I said, Bonnie Sue threw a fit. She's going to go home to her mom and daddy. I really wanted to smoke. And I said, how come they can and I can't? Now, heaven and bid brass up to that question. And with that question, God spoke to me and He said, they can, but you can't, because I have better things for you.
Amen.
Amen. I have better things. And you know what I did then? I threw myself on the floor. I prostrated myself before God. I wept my way through that situation. Hallelujah. And I apologized to the Lord. Is there anybody else ever said, why me, Lord?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, listen, I want you to understand, when you're in an argument with God, you're going to lose anyhow. I said you're going to lose.
Praise the Lord! Amen! Hallelujah!
That's worth a 1, 2, and 3. Amen. See, y'all just missed a very good time. I'm glad you got a preacher tonight that will remind you when to say
amen.
Are y'all saying amen? It'll help you, you know.
This is realistic TV. Hallelujah. Now you know why I haven't been here in so long, Glenn. Glory to God. You forgot, hadn't you? Hallelujah. All right. Now listen to this. We're talking about Satan's legal grounds. We have a perfect example of it right here in this seventh chapter of the book of Joshua, beginning at verse 10. Read it with me now. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up! Wherefore rest thou, liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. Get up. You sinned. Did you hear it? Get up. Whenever we are disobedient to the Lord, when we choose evil rather than good, when we choose death rather than life, when we will not obey the Lord, even as God's children, God says, it is sin. Get up. Turn to the Lord. You know, this is a black and white story tonight. I mean, just as clear as the nose on your face. When you choose right, it's going to be right. When you choose wrong, it's going to be wrong. You might as well say number four. Oh, me. Thank you, Charlie. Verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing, the accursed from among you. Up. Sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Did you hear that? You will not stand before your enemies until you take the accursed thing from among you. Verse 15 now. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing, the one who did it, shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. Now it doesn't mean that he'd be killed by burning. They did not burn them alive. They stoned them to death, and then they burnt their bodies and all that they had. Remove the accursed thing from among you. We have in this chapter a perfect example of Satan's legal rights. Now let's turn from this sordid picture and let's turn to some scriptures. Some people think that they don't have to bother about curses, that God will handle them. However, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that He has given to us authority over Satan and his kingdom. Did you hear that? The Lord Jesus Christ has told us that He has given authority to us over Satan and over his kingdom. Now, when the Lord gives us authority over something, the Lord doesn't intervene. Listen to the scripture, Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Luke 10, verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Did you hear that? Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord's given to us power over the enemy, over all demons, over all evil spirits, over everything that's associated with evil. He has given us power over it. He expects us to exercise that power. The Word says, let every word be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Confirming Luke 10, verse 19. Listen to this. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils.
Everyone here, I'm sure, recognizes the name of Brother Kenneth Hagin, Sr. Brother Hagin told in my presence that he was trying to pray, seeking God concerning some things concerning God's people. And he had the promises in the Word of God to stand on, to come before the Lord and ask that those blessings be given. As he was praying in the altar before the Lord, he said he had a vision. And the vision was this: that standing between him and the blessings, he could see the blessings, but standing between him and the blessings that he was asking the Father to bestow upon the people was a huge demon. And his demon was roaring loud, making all types of gestures and profane things. Brother Hagin said, "Lord, make him leave." No answer. "Lord, make him leave, please, in the name of Jesus." No answer. Several times he pleaded this before the Lord, his own confession. And then he said, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "I can't. I can't." Did you hear that? "I can't." And then he said, "I gave that authority to you. I gave that authority to you." Look at the scripture again. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Are you a believer? Then if you are a believer, then he's given you the power and the authority to cast out devils. 2 Corinthians 7:1. "I, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Hallelujah. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves from all evil and all filthiness. God has given us the authority to be able to do this, to wreak havoc upon the kingdom of Satan, to wreak havoc upon every demon that has been assigned to come against you, against your family, against your children, against your lineage, against your church, against your nation. But you have to exercise that authority. And if you don't, then it'll not be exercised. Now let me ask you a question. Is there something here tonight that you need to take the authority over concerning whatever the enemy has come against you in? For the children of Israel, in Joshua chapter 7, it was the death of 36 men because the door was opened because of the sin of one man. 36 people died. Right now, tonight, is there a door opened in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your finances, your employment? Think right now about all the people in General Motors that's wondering what's going to happen. In Kansas City, we're seeing major car lots closing. I got a personal letter from the Dodge people. I have no idea why they wrote to me. But they said they are closing up a Dodge dealership not very far from our church. And they named several others. And they're consolidating all these dealerships in one dealership on Nolan Road, Charlie. One dealership on Nolan Road. General Motors is doing the same thing. You can drive by some of these major automobile dealers and their lots are empty today. Or if not empty, just a few cars. People are out of work. My precious brother Tom is a retiree, 30 years at GM, wondering what's going to happen with their retirement. But I'm here to say to you tonight that the Lord has given to you authority over all of these things. Joshua meant business. They searched out the one who had sinned against God and brought this curse upon Israel, and they got rid of the accursed thing, and they got rid of the individual who did what he did. And I want you to understand something. God expects God's people
to take authority over the evil one and to get rid of it. Now, some of us here tonight, right now, have been laboring under a curse. How do you break a curse? Number one, you repent of your sin. You confess it before God. Lord, I did this. If not you, then you can confess the sin of someone that has been responsible to bringing that curse upon you. It may be a forefather. It may be a relative that you know of. It may be one that you don't know of. But confess it before the Lord. Repent of it. Repent means being sorry for it and turning away from it. Stop going this way and start going that way. You see that finger up there?
Amen.
Stop going this way and start going that way.
Amen.
That's what we got to do.
Amen.
Then thirdly, break the curse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Break it. There's no reason for that. You know, whenever Daddy got through punishing me, that was the end of it. It was over with. Then he'd take me in his arms and hug me and love me and say, "Son, I love you." Then he'd give me that story. It hurts me worse than it does you. I never did believe it, but at least he told me that. Amen? And now I'm a parent and I understand that. I understand that now from a different perspective. So whenever the punishment has been meted out and we have repented of it and start doing right, stop going that way and start going that way, then there'll not be any more. The curse will stop. Satan will be put in his box. And one of these days, the angel's going to throw a chain around his neck and seal him in the pit. And just before they put that seal on there, Glenn, you and I are going to run up there and spit a great big hawker right down there on him. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, church. Are you listening? That's what it's all about. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You for what You have told us in the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that You've explained to us tonight that there is a legal right that the devil has to afflict the people of God and everyone else whenever we are not obedient to You, when we have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, the Savior and the Lord of our life, when we've not been obedient, when we have sinned before You, knowing, Lord, when we're doing it, that we're doing wrong and the Holy Spirit has dealt with us. But Heavenly Father, tonight I thank You that we know the answer. Israel got rid of the accursed thing, and we can get rid of it too by confessing, by repenting, by breaking that curse and dispatching every demon that has been associated with that curse and yielding our lives to You. Father, I thank You for what Sister McCarroll said, walking in deliverance every day, walking in deliverance. Sanctify us, Lord, for Your glory in Jesus' name. Say with me, Heavenly Father, You know me just like You knew Achan. You know everything about me. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to You. I am a sinner, but I believe in You as the Son of the living God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe the Father raised You from the dead. I confess You tonight as my Savior and as my Lord. I open up Thy heart's door and I ask You to come in. I ask You to cleanse me. I ask You to make me the person that You'd have me to be. I surrender my life to You. The rest of my days I will serve You with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. And Father, I give You glory tonight in Jesus' name. Now raise your hands to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive the blessed Holy Ghost. I receive the blessed Holy Spirit. And I breathe Him in tonight. Now listen to me. As we breathe out demonic powers, we breathe in the Spirit of the living God. Just like on a hot summer day, you take a cold drink of water. Boy, you drink the depths of it, and then you want some more. I want you right now just to raise your hands to heaven and say, "Fill me, Lord Jesus, with Your blessed Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit tonight." I want you just to drink Him in. Drink Him in.
Drink him in. Drink him in deep. Hallelujah. Drink him in deep. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. I receive the blessed Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Bible teaches us that there is an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that evidence, the initial evidence, is that we will speak in a new language. Right now, once you begin to thank God, just begin to thank Him for filling you. Thank Him for ministering to you. Thank Him for being merciful to you. Thank Him for loving you. Hallelujah. Thank you for making all of this possible for you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, just thank Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you thank Him. Hallelujah. Give Him glory. Give Him honor right now in His blessed name. Hallelujah. Soon you won't be able to express all of that the Lord has put into your heart. Just begin to praise Him. God will give you the words, a new language, a new word. Hallelujah. Just to talk to Him with. One that you never cursed in. One you never got angry in. One that you never told anybody off with. But a new language. A language that's used to talk to the Father. Hallelujah. And to bless Him. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit he speaketh mysteries. Glory be to God. Hayyara. I want to ask all the ministers to step out now and start laying hands upon people all around you. Just lay hands upon the people. Hallelujah. Bless them. Amen. Amen. Bless them. Hallelujah. And you just begin to speak to the Lord in that new language. Just glorify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Alice, would you go ahead and play something, honey, please? Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.